Hi, this is Lisa, and you are listening to I Love That Movie. This podcast is for movie lovers. It's not an unbiased opinion. It's not a straightforward review. It's just a couple people talking about a movie that they love. The format is each week I have a guest, and that guest and I discuss a movie that they love, something they're obsessed with, something they connect with. We'll talk about the plot, the director, and the actors, but we'll also talk about the personal connection my guest has with that movie. So if that sounds like something you want to listen to, keep listening. This is Lisa, and if you want to catch up with me on X, I'm at ILTM Podcast. I'm also on Instagram at I Love That Movie Podcast, and we have a Patreon. The show is always free, but if you want to support us on there, you can. That's it. Patreon.com/I Love That Movie. And if you sign up today, you do get a weekly bonus episode of everything else I'm watching. People often ask about new movies, shows, thoughts on those things, and that is all on the Patreon. And we have a lot of fun on there. And sometimes I have guests on there and we cover shows in depth, so we have a lot of fun. And if you like what you hear today, please subscribe and rate the show. It does help new listeners find us. Well, it's that time again. It's been 7 years. 7 years, y'all, of I Love That Movie. And to celebrate, I wanted to bring the top five most listened to episode guests back and just thank them for picking those movies, talk to them about why that episode is so popular. And yeah, if you haven't heard this podcast before, every episode I have a guest, we just talk about how much they love that movie. These are the top five from year to year, March to March. So, all right, enough talking. I will go ahead and play those clips now. All right, so we are at number five, the fifth most downloaded episode this past year, March to March, was actually Silence of the Lambs. Hooray!
Yay!
So I've invited Kara back to talk about it. This is not her first time on the countdown, but... Kara, why do you think this was the fifth most listened to?
Ooh, good question. I think this is a movie that, well, first of all, it's a classic. I mean, not that the other movies people pick on here aren't, but this is one that's, it's been around for a while, and I think a lot of people are familiar with it, and it still is good today. So it's probably one that a lot of people have seen or have heard of. So that might have been a reason that it's more popular, but also, I mean, my opinion is that it's a really good movie. I mean, it might not even be the fifth best movie from last year. It might have been the best movie on the podcast last year. I don't know.
There you go. There you go. I love that. I also feel like Jodie Foster is having a moment. This year, True Detective came out, and she's the detective in that.
That's right.
It's getting a lot of buzz. It's won awards. I heard she's one and done, so she's not coming back next season. But from what I've seen so far, it's been pretty, she has a pretty phenomenal performance, and I really liked it.
Yes, and I still haven't seen that yet, but I am so excited because I love Jodie Foster, and it sounds really cool. I'm definitely planning to binge watch that as soon as I set aside some time to do that. So I think you're right. People may be thinking about her, and then here's this podcast episode about one of her kind of iconic movies.
Yes, and I also feel, you know, you use the word iconic, and I agree. I think a lot of times when people listen to episodes, sometimes they even just search the name of a movie and then kind of listen to whatever podcasts are associated with it. And this is a very popular film. So that's probably part of it too.
It could be. I mean, also it's a good podcast too. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah. You don't need to be humble here.
No, there's no need for that. This is the episode celebrating the successful episodes. So no, don't be humble.
did you ever go back and listen to the episode?
Yes, I did. And I enjoyed it.
Good. Was there anything you forgot to mention that you wanted to, or?
I feel like there was, and I even remember having that thought. And it has now escaped me again.
It's okay. No problem.
I do remember that I had said that I was going to read the book and report back on it. I'm pretty sure I said that.
Oh, yeah. No, you did, I think.
Yeah. And I have not finished reading the book, but I did get a little further into it than I was before. And I like it.
Really different or?
Not so far.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Now, it may diverge further on in the plot, but it starts out really, really similar. It's Agent Starling, or she's a cadet or trainee at the academy. And, you know, they call her into the office and are asking her if she'll go do this interview and talking about her credentials. And then she goes to interview him and all that. So it really started out just like the movie, really.
Interesting. You know, since we spoke, I think it was after we recorded that, but we later covered the movie Contact, which I had never seen before. Jodie Foster. And I absolutely loved that movie. I actually thought it was a controversial statement, but I think it's better than like movies like Arrival or there's Arrival and then Interstellar, like films that have kind of a similar concept. I think this was even better.
You know, I really liked Contact, and I haven't watched it in a long time. I need to go back and rewatch that. And that's based off of the book by, why am I blanking on his name now? Carl Sagan, right?
Yes, yes. And it was really good. And I mean, I think she was a really big part of that. It was very forward thinking and...
Yes.
You know, it was really good. I feel like she's got a lot of these really iconic roles. I didn't mean to turn this into the Jodie Foster podcast, but, you know, she is the main character.
Yeah.
I saw that Anthony Hopkins also was going to be in something. Oh, what show was it? Oh, Anthony Hopkins to star in Eyes in the Trees, reimagining of H.G. Wells' The Island of Dr. Moreau. I think that's what it was.
Oh, interesting. That was not the most successful book to film adaptation originally, The Island of Dr. Moreau. Well, not originally, the recent one.
Yeah,
okay, you know what? It wasn't recent. I'm old, but you know the one I mean.
We know the one you mean. We all know the one you mean.
Everyone knows about that film.
You know that one. Yeah, I think they're redoing it, I guess. I saw his name come up in the news recently, and so that came up. But yeah, I just felt like we should talk about him too, since he's in the movie.
Yes, he is also a big part of the movie, and a big part of the reason that the movie is really good and probably iconic. So yes, he does get some credit.
Oh, but I liked our episode. I was proud of our discussion about like gender and crime and, you know, relating it to our day-to-day. And I thought you know, we added to it. You gave me a lot to think about that I had not thought about when I watched the movie previously. So I appreciated that.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, good. I'm glad. It was really fun for me, too, to kind of think about it. Because a lot of times when I'm watching a movie, I'm not thinking about what commentary would I give on this if someone was asking me questions about it.
100%. 100%. It's always fun to look back on a classic film that you've seen many times that you love and just kind of dissect it together. I totally agree.
Yes, I love that. And I'm one of those people that likes to talk the whole way through the movie, which I know irritates some people really, really badly, but I am for it. I will just watch a movie and monologue over it.
Honestly, I've thought about doing commentary tracks. One of the podcasts I listen to is they do commentary tracks, and I've thought about doing them, but I haven't done that yet. If I do, I'll let you know.
Ooh, yeah, that would be fun.
It really would be. Like, you just kind of have to, like, tell people when you're starting it, and then they cue it up, and, like, they can, like, listen along. It's kind of fun to do.
Yes! Oh, I would love that. It's like back when we did those movie parties during lockdown, where everybody watched the movie at once, and you're hanging out watching it. I kind of wish we still did that. I liked that.
I know. A lot of people still do that on, like, Discord and stuff like that. Probably should sometime. Especially since we're not always in the same state.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. I travel a lot, so I still feel like sometimes I'm in lockdown.
I understand that. Yeah. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to mention about the movie, or do you feel that you've covered reminiscing about it?
I mean, I think so. I think there was something else I was thinking of that we didn't talk about, but then I lost it. So no, other than it's still a good movie. And if anybody still hasn't seen it yet, they should go do that.
Yeah. And if, you know, you have, then go back and visit that episode.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kara, for returning for this brief recording session. You know, I really appreciate always having you on the show and hope to have you back soon.
Yeah, of course. I'd love to. Thanks for having me.
All right. So we are at number 4 of our countdown. And spoiler alert, 4 and 3 are the same guest host. But number 4 is Stuck in Love. And that was selected by Danny Hercules, who I have back. Say hi, Danny.
Hey, Lisa. How's it going?
Hey. So thank you for selecting, you know, this episode. It ended up being a pretty popular one. I pulled like a report of most downloaded from the year, and this was on there. So congratulations. And what are your thoughts on that?
I'm very happy to hear that. You know, I was at the Oscars last week and I posted some pictures from it and I joked.
Oh,
that,
wow.
Yeah. And I joked that I had a great time, even though I didn't win anything. But then when I heard from you that that two of my episodes were picked in the top 5, I feel like I have won something. And so I'm totally going to let it go to my head now.
Congratulations. So if people haven't heard this episode, it was on a movie called Stuck in Love, which is kind of a smaller indie film, right? I mean, you had like a really interesting story around how you found out about it and listened to it and watched it rather. And so we kind of covered it. And
yeah.
What do you think might have stood out about that episode to people?
Just that it was, I talked about a lot of things that were personal to me about that movie.
Yeah.
About the subject matter, about writers.
Yeah. And I think too, like when some movies that are maybe there's not as much coverage on that particular movie, I have noticed that that will increase the number. So like, you know, maybe somebody's looking for a podcast talking about this particular film. They do a search, they find us, you know, so you're kind of helping spread the word.
Yeah, that's probably it too. Thanks.
Yeah. And then the second episode on the countdown that you're on is actually number 3, and that's a movie called All That Jazz.
Right, and that's not as small and indie and unknown as Stuck in Love. So I think that might have attracted people for the opposite reason, because the movie does have a lot of fans.
I know. And I think we talked about in during that episode that that movie, not only does it have a lot of fans, I almost feel like as the years goes on, it gains more steam almost. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think a lot of that had to do with the miniseries about Bob Fosse that came out a few years ago.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we're in kind of a headspace now, I guess, in pop culture, where we're giving movies like this more of a shot too, you know. Mm-hmm. It is kind of dark subject matter, you know, a little bit, but it's also celebrating kind of a troubled person's career. And, you know, I'm thinking a little bit, not quite as troubled, I guess, but like there was a movie that was in, you know, the top 10, I guess almost best picture nomination, right? Maestro. It continues, and I feel like every year there's almost an entry like that, right? Like a while back it was like Judy Garland's movie,
right?
Or a movie about Judy Garland. I just feel like we're constantly drawn to these films about these you know, very famous people that, you know, have interesting stories. But in this case, I feel like the movie itself is also just visually very interesting too. It's very artistic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, the backstage drama, it's kind of a tradition.
Very, very true. And I feel like, you know, the Academy loves movies about Hollywood. So
yeah. Yeah.
You know, I guess more about theater than Hollywood, but still kind of about fame, I guess.
There was the one about the writing of Citizen Kane. What was that called? Mank.
Oh, Mank. Yeah, it's a popular topic. So you've I feel like you've had a couple top 5 in the past, haven't you? I feel like we've done this.
No, not that I'm aware of.
No, okay. Oh my gosh, you're on the show so much. Well, Congratulations. Glad you're here.
I hardly hear any feedback at all about this. And so I sometimes wonder, do people even listen to my episodes, let alone like them? So this means a lot to me. I'm glad.
Oh, good. I'm really happy. Like, that's awesome. Tell me a little bit about your time at the Oscars. I want to hear about that.
That was incredible. You know, the highlights, of course, same in the theaters. They were at home. The streaker bit was hilarious, and the I'm Just Ken was amazing.
Yeah, that was great.
I got to walk the red carpet, but on the side for regular people. So
for normies, yeah.
And I got to go to the Governor's Ball, where I walked right by people like Paul Giamatti and Willem Dafoe and Cord Jefferson and who was Jeffrey Wright, Billie Eilish. So I was near them, but I didn't bother them because they're all excited. It's their night. I also got to go to the rehearsal the day before. That was even more cool, I think.
Wow. So how do you get opportunities like this? Is this around your writing or?
No, my sister has worked for the Oscars for about 12 years, I think.
She
produces the nominee packages. The packages, whenever they show clips, pre-recorded, so the presenter will come out in the live show and they'll do their little banter and then they'll say the nominees are, and then they'll cut to the pre-recorded package that my sister put together, which has the clips that she picked of the nominees, plus the names that are recorded by the presenters. They're pre-recorded in advance by the presenters so that they don't mess up the pronunciation on the day of the show. So she grabs them right after they do their rehearsal, the part that I saw, and then she has them record the names.
That is so cool. I had no idea. Yeah. So how long is that evening for you? Like, when does it start and when does it end? I'm just curious.
This is my first time going, and I know they moved it up an hour, so I don't know what it used to be like, but it did seem pretty early. You know, they want us to be in our seats by 3:30. I think the show started at 4. It started a little bit late because of the protesters. This was one of the shorter ones. They ended earlier than they expected. They didn't go over like they usually do.
I noticed that this year. Yeah. I was like, in years past, I feel like I've had to be like, okay, I have to go to sleep because like I'm, you know, on Central Time, so it's always a little bit later for me anyway. And then it felt like it used to end at like 10 or 11. And by that time, I'm like, okay, I got to work tomorrow.
It was definitely earlier. I think Jimmy didn't do as many pre-recorded bits as he usually does.
And, I'm kind of a fan of it, if I'm honest.
I know.
That's great. Well, that's really cool that you got to have that experience. So hopefully you get to do that again next year.
I don't think so. I mean, part of it was my sister was thinking this might be her last year, and so that's why I finally got to go. And for me, I moved out away from California, so it was I don't like to travel that much. It was
Well, once in a lifetime fun opportunity.
It was fun. Yeah,
great. Well, I've really enjoyed having you on. These two episodes were great to record. I'm so glad people enjoyed them. But now I want to give you an opportunity. Is there anything that you kind of want to plug for people to listen to or follow you on?
I don't usually do plugs. I do this just for fun. I did mention on the last episode, the Stuck in Love episode, the writers group that I'm in. It's called Storyboard, screenwriting developing group or something like that. Storyboarddg.com is the website. And we get together once a month on the second Monday of every month. And we read a script in advance of a movie that is about to come out or during award season. Something that's been nominated may already be out, and then we get together and we talk about it. And the idea is so that we're evaluating just what's on the page rather than having it influenced by what we've seen on the screen, the performances, the music, and so forth. And we used to do the meetings in person before COVID at 20th Century Fox, and now because of COVID, we've moved to online. We do it as a Zoom. And that means that people who are outside of California can participate too. And it's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for taking some time out of your day to be back on the show. And thank you for picking those episodes. I hope to have you back soon.
I hope to be back soon. Thank you.
All right, and we're down to number two. Our number two most listened to episode last year, that's March to March, was actually Memento. And so I invited Cody back to talk about it. So welcome, Cody.
Oh wow, such an honor, and it's always, and I'm always glad to be here and to chat with you, Lisa. I'm kind of shocked, you know. I've been on a
I
few
know.
times. I guess the Nolan Hive came out for this one. I hope they enjoyed it, and I hope they realize how good this movie still is despite his massive filmography now.
Maybe, I don't know, this is his year, right? Because he just won an Oscar for Best Director and Best Picture. So, kind of good timing. Yeah. So, you said you're a little surprised. Yeah, is this your first time on the countdown?
Yes, this is my first time being like in the
Oh my gosh.
top four, top five.
Yeah, I think last year it was kind of a skinny year, so I only did like three episodes. Although this year was a little light too, been busier these days. But I decided to go ahead and do a top five. I pulled out all the stats, and yeah, Memento was up there. I'm not that surprised though. I feel like when this movie came out, yes, it was definitely underground and all that. But now I feel like, you know, he's such a household name. I feel like people that listen to this podcast see certain directors and maybe also certain guests. You're on quite a bit, and those are the ones they listen to. So I think it's kudos to you as well.
I mean, that's thanks. I mean, I know when I did a Life of Brian episode, I actually had people on the page like ask me questions about comments I had, and I was like, I don't even remember saying that. I had to go back and listen to it myself and be like, oh, well, that's what I was talking about.
I'm the same way, or like if people point out something I said wrong, I'm like, you know what? I'm just a movie fan. I'm not qualified. I didn't even take film. Well, I took like maybe a class or two in college, but certainly not an authority. So makes sense that I made a mistake. Don't worry about it.
But yeah, this is very much as far as Memento, his second film, but really his breakout film. This is very much a film school person's movie too. It was like, even though it was an independent film and wasn't like a huge distributed film, I feel like it was buzzworthy even in the film community when it was released.
Yeah, I would say the crowd that this podcast draws is probably, you know, other film nerds. And yeah, this is definitely up there in one of the, you know, top films that people that love film really love. So that makes sense too. How do you feel? I forget if we talked about this or not. How do you feel it ranked up against, you know, some of the other Nolan films? Like, you know, is it your favorite?
Well, it's not my personal favorite, but my personal favorite film of his is The Prestige, which has already been covered on your show.
Yeah, The Prestige is great.
But this is my second favorite Nolan film.
Nice. How do you feel about that Oppenheimer win?
I am perfectly fine with the Oppenheimer win. It wasn't my personal favorite film. I don't think it's Christopher Nolan's best film. I think he'll make better movies. He has made better movies, but I would definitely say it's in his top five
Yeah,
for me.
what I'm curious, what movie were you thinking of that you think deserved it maybe a little bit more?
I don't know if any of the other movies deserved it more. You know, like I certainly understand why it won. It's a prestigious bio movie. It's very well made. It's very well acted.
Yeah.
Everything, there's nothing bad about Oppenheimer. It's just personal preference. And
Yeah.
so my personal favorite film of the 10 films, I have yet to see Zone of Interest, so I can't say how I feel about that film. But
You and a lot of people, I think. That's probably
I
why there's
loved
not a whole
Poor
lot of
Things was
people.
my favorite film.
Oh, interesting.
I really love that movie. And also Barbie was just a lot of fun. So of the whole Barbenheimer, you know, huge success thing.
I would
I've definitely
agree
watched Barbie more than Oppenheimer, but also
with
because
that.
Oppenheimer's 3 hours long and not a fun
Yes.
hang,
I
you
just
know.
finished Killers of the Flower Moon yesterday, and I watched it in sessions. I know that would really upset Scorsese, I'm sure, but
Well,
I had a lot to
it's
get to.
an It's an incredible movie and a very important story, and I love how they changed the structure of how the book was written. But with this and Oppenheimer and a lot of other big movies of last year, can we bring back the intermission? Can we bring it back? Can we
Seriously.
have a potty break between
I
movies?
know. So true.
Where
Yeah,
I'm
see,
not
Memento was
running out of the
actually.
theater after like I've been holding it for 30 or 45 minutes.
Yeah, how long was Memento? That was like, it was either
It's
two
not even
hours 2 hours and a
two hours. So
half,
we know
right?
Christopher Nolan can make a movie under 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I would like to see him do something more like this again. I think we talked about that during the episode too.
And I think that's why Prestige is my favorite film of his, because I think it's playing with the same elements as this on a bigger scale.
I agree
But
with that.
it's all about the mystery box and, you know, the non-linear structure and
Yep.
who is really the protagonist. And I love in the Prestige that it kind of goes back and forth who you're siding with in the
Yes.
story.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I saw a movie last year. It was The Killer. I think that was Fincher, right? And that reminded me a lot of Memento. Except that I didn't love that movie. I thought about that movie a lot after I watched it, but I didn't love it. But like maybe something kind of like that. Like I would like to almost see Nolan do something like that again.
Do you think Nolan is self-aware or has enough of a sense of humor, even though people wouldn't think Fincher has a sense of humor? But I think Fincher totally was making fun of himself and what his fans expect in his movies with the killer. I feel like he was like, even though it's a straight up thriller, but I think he was making fun of his aesthetic as a director a little bit
Oh, I
with
never
that.
thought of it that way. Interesting. I'll have to think about that. Yeah, I think it just when I watched it, I got serious Memento vibes from it. So, yeah, but I haven't thought of it that way. Is that a nod to his fans and sort of not taking himself too seriously? That would be
I don't know if
interesting.
it's a nod to his fans or like him like messing with their expectations of what they
Oh, I
want.
see. Okay. Yeah. I could see that too, for sure.
Because I mean, the man has made a few films that he feels pretty bad about some of the fan base of his movies.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So with Memento, what do you think about that episode? You know, why do you think it ended up being so popular this year? Any guesses?
I mean, I think it has to be Christopher Nolan is one of those directors people love. A lot of people love him. So I think that had to do with it. Maybe the timing of Oppenheimer being released, because I think I did it around the time Oppenheimer was about to
I
come
think you
out.
did. Yeah. I see. It was like in May or something like that. Yeah. It was pretty
So
close to the time.
maybe that was just good timing on my part, and maybe because Oppenheimer stayed in the zeitgeist the rest of the year up until now,
Yeah, maybe so.
because it was, I think it ended up being the third highest grossing movie of the year, which is kind of crazy when you think about that,
Yeah.
even with Nolan's pedigree. I mean, it's a 3 hour R-rated bio movie about people in suits talking.
Yeah, I know it, but it was really good. I thought it was one of the movies I really enjoyed watching in Dolby because, you know, I think the effects were great, but the sound I thought was really
Oh, for
good.
sure. Especially, you know, that's been a complaint in some of Nolan's recent films is you can't hear half
Yeah.
the things going on in the film.
Very true, very true. But yeah, I think it was deserved and out of for me out of the You know, I felt a little bit differently than you did in that out of what was chosen, I felt like it was the best. So I was like, yeah, I get it. And this year we
Yeah.
had some good ones, but not as strong of a lineup, in my opinion, as years past. So.
Well, interesting, because I thought this was one of the better years for Best Picture because I didn't love all the movies, but of all the movies, I'm like, well, I can see why these were nominated. Like, There wasn't one I'm like, what were they thinking nominating that movie?
That's true. That's true. Very true. Well, cool. Well, I'm really glad to have you back. You know, thank you again for picking that episode and for being such a great and consistent guest on the show. And hopefully this starts a trend and you'll be in my top five from now on.
I guess I need to just see what's coming out and pick a movie related to
strategically pick things.
Strategic planning, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you again. And before you go, do you want to plug your show?
Sure. We have a show called Video Store Rejects, which is a YouTube channel. We do, retro reviews of films that are out. They can span anything from decades ago to recent films. But usually we pick things that are readily already available to watch. We don't usually talk about films in the theater. And then I also have a show called The Director's Chair. And right now we're doing the works of David Lynch. Right now we're almost done with season two of Twin Peaks. We're covering three episodes tonight. And then I think we got like four episodes left.
Very nice. Awesome. Well, yeah, please give those a listen. And thank you again, Cody. I'll have you back soon.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me. And I'm honored to be number two. That's wild.
Yep. Thank you again.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hello. And so now we are at number one. The number one most downloaded episode this past year was Super Mario Brothers. And I brought back one of the hosts, or one of the guests, rather, to talk about it. And that was Danny. Say hi, Danny.
Oh, hey.
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 Well, thank you again for picking that movie. And just kind of wanted to recap, like, this is, kind of far after you had the live show. I just wanted to hear like how that went. And yeah,
Sure.
yeah, go
No,
ahead.
it wasn't so much that we picked it. It was more like we were forced to. No, it was so we've done. Or just to recap, the Machior Picture Show is a show we do at the Texas Theater, which, in case your listeners don't remember, because it's been a while,
Yeah, true. Good
where
point.
we riff on a movie in the theater and give the audience lines and things and so they can do it with us. And we just premiered, we finished. Oh, what was it? We did re Oh no, we've done Mac. We just done Mac and Me, which was our
Mac and Me
second.
is great.
Yeah, first time we did Mac and Me,
Yeah.
which was the second show at the Texas Theater. Like we just started, and it was like the first time we've done real theaters before that, or not that we the other theaters weren't, but real movie theaters is what I meant to say. And we just brought Albie on board, Albie Robles, who had been coming to our shows, and we needed a writer and performer, and he's a big Mystery Science fan. So, and he's thankfully he's stuck with us ever since. And he actually suggested Super Mario Brothers, and I was like, oh, there's no way we're gonna get that movie, because I wasn't sure at the time, but I was pretty sure Disney owned some part of it, because it's Hollywood Pictures. I was like 99% sure Disney bought them, but
Oh.
I figured, ask anyway. Worst thing to say is no. And I,
Sure.
emailed Barack and was like, "Hey, we want to do Super Mario Brothers. Can we get it?" Sure. And I don't know exactly like all the ins and outs of movie licensing, but apparently it was like we timed it so that we would do the show close to the release of the new Super Mario Brothers movie with the. Chris Pratt and Jack Black and everybody.
Yeah.
And apparently now it's impossible to get that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man, that like revitalized. Well, y'all got it at just the right time. How did your live show go? How did that go?
So up until that point, it was the most people we'd ever had at a show. We
Wow.
had over 100 people, which in the upstairs the theater, I think it seats about 150, 175
That is
maximum.
awesome.
Yeah. It turns out they were like big fans of this movie, and we lucked out.
Yay.
years ago, I'd interviewed Blake Dumansel from Houston. He actively seeks out props and owns props and costumes from the movie. And I'd first met him because he gave some of his props to the National Video Game Museum in Frisco. And so I emailed him and I was like, hey, I don't know if you're going to be in town this weekend, but if you are, you know, we'd love to have you come to the show and bring some of the stuff. And luck as luck would have it, he was in town that weekend.
Wow.
For the Pinball Festival. So we had he brought like one of the Shy Guy masks. He brought one of the boots. One of the jump boots. Yeah, it turns out they were like huge fans for this movie, which kind of scared me at first because we make it pretty hard on it.
Yeah.
But they laughed at all the right stuff. They laughed at the mean jokes. They laughed at the silly ones. You know, they laughed at the smart. They thoroughly enjoyed it.
That's great to hear.
Another lucky thing. 3 weeks before, I interviewed Mojo Nixon. Are you familiar with
him? Yeah.
Mojo Nixon's like started the like cowpunk movement. It's kind of like he sings country songs, but it's in a very punk style. It's more like rockabilly, I would think.
Mm, okay.
And I've loved him since I discovered him in Austin because he would do a show every year around South by Southwest. And he had a documentary come out. And so, you know, I did an interview with him and then he's in the movie. He plays Toad.
Oh, okay. He's wow.
He's the blues guy that gets de-evolved first.
Nice.
And so I'm interviewing him and I got him on Zoom and I'm like, hey, you know, can you do a little intro for the, you know, audience? We'll surprise them with it. Right before we played the movie, we played the intro and he gave this really funny intro. And if you know him, he's like kind of a hard drinking singer.
Yeah.
But that was really cool. And he passed away not too long ago. So I felt really lucky.
Like a month ago.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So I felt really lucky. One, that I got to meet him, and two, we got to do that. Cause really like jump started the show. Cause wow. I was like, can we actually get somebody from this movie to do something? And then
that's amazing.
And then Mojo, it was like so many things came together and just made the show that much better.
Oh my gosh.
It really helped launch the show, I think. To like, oh, okay, we can do these kinds of movies now.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Not only can we get them, but they're riffable. Because when we started, I was like very kind of stubborn with like, oh, it has to be a certain kind of movie. It, you know, has to be like a Mac and Me type movie. Mm-hmm. Like it can't be a big budget movie. And I was like, who cares? It's like, I mean, yes, there's some movies that I still think are not riffable.
Yeah.
Because they're just that good or mm-hmm. they're just impossible to get. We got what's some of the other ones we've done since then? Where we got the Lawnmower Man coming up.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Lawnmower Man. That feels like that's a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang it, I can't think of the name of it. Anyway, it'll come to me.
No problem. That's great. So when okay, so I guess we kind of answered our own question here.
Yeah,
good. No, thank you for all that.
It was a great show, and you were a huge help, by the way, in helping get people to the theater. You really were.
I am really passionate about this. I hope you know that. Like, I mm-hmm. am a huge Mystery Science Theater 3000 mm-hmm. fan since I was a child. And I just think what y'all are doing is great. Like the way you've combined, mm-hmm. you know, comedy Thanks. And writing and movies. Like I'm actually a pretty big comedy nerd too. I don't know if I've talked about that a lot. So it's just kind of all the things I like. So really appreciate that. Thank you for kind of setting the tone there and telling us a little bit of behind the scenes stuff. I was going to ask, like, I guess we've answered our own question here, but It's probably no surprise to you then that this was like a number one from my podcast that year.
No, I'm still surprised that this movie is that big, because nothing surprises me anymore when it comes to like fandom. I've been around long enough to know that there's a fan for like every book and movie and show or whatever, you know, like even the worst thing, there's a diehard fan who will like find something to like about it.
Oh, absolutely. That's true.
Which I think for this one, it's mostly because like Super Mario is like, you know, so ingrained in so many people's childhood.
For sure. And I think they, like,
you know, watch this movie out of just hope that it would get better.
And I think like when I saw it as a kid, I had no idea it was bad. You know, I just was like,
right,
this is great. And I remember my father being like, this is really hard to watch and understand. And I think, you know, there's probably a lot of fans my age, your age, that just have rose colored lenses over it. And so they love it and they don't care. And now like the artifacts from the movie, like, are just so, you know, interesting. And that includes discussions around it. And I think y'all treated it respectfully. Like, I know you say you were hard on it, but at least on the interview, it's like, we did kind of pick on certain things, but at the same time, I feel like it still came from a good place, a place that, you know, you could tell y'all are, you know, you don't mind me saying this, but like me, a nerd.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it came from the right source. I think that people care about that. So I think that's part of why too. And I've noticed on my show, like the episodes that get the most play, there's two kinds. It's you know, some movies that are very popular. And I would consider this, like you said, surprising, but still very popular. And then the other ones are if it's obscure enough to where that's maybe the only people that have talked about it. Cause like we've covered some movies that like no one's ever heard of. And so I think people, they probably search and find those, and that kind of bumps up the numbers too.
Right.
Yeah, this is definitely in the popular category for sure. Well, thank you for picking this movie, and thank you for kind of telling us a little bit about it. But before you go, you mentioned you have a show coming up. Is there anything you want to plug?
April 11th at the Texas Theater, we're debuting a new riff of or new public mockery is what we call them, so we don't confuse people.
Of
The Lawnmower Man, the least Stephen King movie ever released. In that it's named, it is based on a Stephen King movie, but it ignores it pretty much completely. to the point where Stephen King sued to have his name taken off of it.
Oh my god.
Which I didn't know until we started watching it.
And he has his name on some really questionable things, so that says a lot right there. So that's a pretty good ad for it, honestly.
Yeah,
Stephen King won't even have his name attached.
Right.
Well, if so you're listening, go ahead.
Oh, it'll be April 11th at 9:30 at the Texas Theater. You can go to thetexastheater.com or bit.ly/mockthelawnmowerman for tickets. We're gonna start. I think the ticket link, the ticket links on both of those. So
okay, perfect.
It's gonna be, you know, a good one. So
yeah, if you're local, come check it out. Well, thanks again for coming on, Danny, and I hope to have you back soon.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to that recap. We'll be back with a regular episode next time, but so grateful to all of you for listening to the podcast. Happy anniversary, and I'll see you next time.